Okay. Perek Yudzayin Pasukav. Vayasu plishtim es machaneim lemilchama. The plishtim gathered their camps to war. Vayasku sukkah asher liyuda. They gathered together in sukkah, which is a city which is in Yehuda. Vayachanu ben sukkah ben azekah. And then after they gathered their camps, they gathered together. They made a camp between sukkah and azekah, Be'efes Damim, in a place called Efes Damim. Now, the Malbim points out that Shaul in the previous parak had been very, very depressed, and obviously this depression was so overwhelming and so well now known that national morale was down, and that's why the Plishtim were emboldened to come all the way in. This is a very, very deep penetration after Shaul earlier in his career had vanquished them several times over. For them to come so close is obviously a very, very big chutzpah on their part. So clearly they're brazen their stamp, says the Malbim, for the fact that it was known that Shaul was in this depressed mood, was down, and everybody's mood was bleak. So they came all the way into this place, Efes Damim, where they camped there. Now, Efes Damim, most people translate as being just a place, but the Rabbah brings that a Medrash says that Efes Damim means that they were looted. And they sort of left with no money. Efes? No. Damim. Money. So this is implied great looting by the Plishtim. The Shaul the Ish Yisrael, Shaul and the rest of the men of Israel, Nasfu, they gathered together. By Chanuba Emeka Ela, they gathered in the valley of the nut tree. By Achum Yochama, and they arranged their war, Likras Plishtim towards the Plishtim. In other words, they arranged some sort of formation, some war formation, in order to oppose the Plishtim. No, I don't know where they are. It could be that they are identified, but I'm not aware of it. No, I don't think it's that far. So it could be. I think it's probably further west. Uplishim on the Melaharmizeh, and the Plishim would stand on the mountain on this side. Yisrael omdim mizeh, or omdim elahar mizeh, and the Jews would stand on the mountain on the other side. Vagai ben Ayem, and there was a valley between them. So, here too, the Malbim points out that everybody was very, very cowardly, and the Israelim actually allowed the Plishtim to collect and leisurely gather the armies together, and they actually distanced themselves somewhat from the Philistine camp in order not to engage them. In the end, of course, the Plishtim were penetrating further and further, so they're left on two sides of a hill with a valley in between the two of them. It's interesting to me, and I think we're going to pick up on this later in the parak, that there is a distinction being made here, although I don't know how the Pasuk would phrase it otherwise, but I sense that there's a distinction made here between Shaul and Ish Yisrael. Shaul on the one side and Ish Yisrael on the other side. It's almost as if there's a wedge between Shaul and the rest of the nation. They're separate. They're two distinct things. And Shaul is standing, so to speak, at cross purposes to the rest of the nation. I think that's going to be significant because we'll see Goliath picking up on that and starting to taunt the Jews accordingly. Okay? Ish Yisrael generally means when they're all unified. And I think that the stress on the unity here was they're unified and Shaul is not in with them. They're at least like separate. Vayetze Isha Benayim. So then there came out the person. It's a little bit hard to translate next for a few psukim. The person came out to stand between the two camps, Mimachlos Plishtim, from the camps of the Plishtim. Golias Shmo. His name was Golias, Migas, from the city of Gas. Govo Sheshamos Vazeris, and he was 6.5 amos tall, which many of you know, like the Chaznish or Abchaim Noah, was either 13 feet or 9.5 feet. It's pretty, pretty tall, regardless. It would have made a great basketball player. So in any event, how tall is a basket in basketball? So in any event, what happened was is that he came out. Isha Benayim means he stood between the two camps. And before we describe what he's going to say, we're going to describe a little bit about the armament which Goliath carried. The Kolan Achoshes Arosho, he had a copper helmet on his head. The Shirion Kaskasim Ulavush, he was wrapped or garbed in chainmail. Umishkala Shirion, and the weight of the armor he was carrying, Chameshes Alotim Shkolan Achoshes, unbelievably heavy, 5,000. Coins worth of copper went into his armor. Umitzchas nechoshes araglav, and he had some sort of a copper boot, you know, shield on his feet. And he had some sort of spear or battle axe of some sort. The Tzuras Tzion says it's a spear. Bank sefer between his shoulders. Not sure exactly what it means, between his shoulders, in front of him, and back of him. In any event, he had a spear of some sort. The Tzuras David translated so somewhat differently, which is that it is from the back of his helmet. He had kind of like a guard going back towards the neck in order to protect the neck area. In other words, his helmet, you know, like the old Roman legion helmet, had a protective thing in the back. Okay, it could ultimately also, I guess, if you learn the kidon is a spear, could look like, you know, the World War One German helmets with those little spikes on top, right? Something like that. The chetz chaniso. And the sword or the sharpness of a spear, actually he learns it as ve'etz, which is the kriv. If you take a look here, there's a kriv uksiv, semim ve'etz, the spear of his sword. It's the etz, the wood of his sword. In other words, the handle. Kinor argim. It's like some tool, a very thick tool, used by the weavers. So on the blade of a spear is shesh mil shkolin bazel, was 600, very, very heavy. It was the weight of 600 coins of iron. Venose atzino, and he had a special shield bearer, holech lefanav, which would go in front of him. That's interesting. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. You know, if you're not holding your own shield, it doesn't sound like it's too effective. Maybe the shield bearer would hold it while he was there between the camps and worried to actually have had to engage in some sort of battle, that he would have taken the shield from the shield bearer. In any event, there was a shield bearer holding his shield. Vayamot, and he stood there between the camps. Vayikra marchos Yisrael, he called to the camps of Am Yisrael. Vayom lem, he said to them, Lo amateitzu laroch milchama. Why are you going out to wage war? Halo anochi aplishti. Am I not the Philistine? Vatem avodim l'shol, and you are avodim v'shol. Bruachem ish, pick a man. V'yereid Eloi, and he'll come down to me. That was a very important passage. First of all, let's see the Targum. Targum is obviously midrashic. You'll see, it is obviously it is midrashic. But nonetheless, it's very, very important. Vikam, going back to Yehuches, Vikam, he got up, Vach reiz al seji Yisrael, and he pronounced concerning the arrangements of Am Yisrael v'amalahon. And he said to them, why are you going out to arrange a war? Hello, ana plishta, am I not a Philistine? Vatun avdin l'shol, and you are slaves for shol. Ana hu Golias, I am Golias. Plishtoi, the Philistine, the Min Gas, from the city of Gas, Tiktalis Shrem Bnei Eli, I killed the two sons of Eli. Kane Chol Kane, the Kohen, Chavni Upinchas, Ushvesi Asaron Kiyoma, and I took the Aron Kodesh into captivity. Brought it to the house of Dagon, my master. And the Aron was there in the cities of our Philistines for 7 months. And each and every battle, the Havalul Bishtoi, which the Plishtim would make, I would go out at the head of the army, and I would be victorious in battle. And I would leave dead people in my wake, kafadar, like the dust of the earth. Varkan, until now, until now, the Pilates haven't even made me a general. So what, that could be taken in one of two ways. Either he's upset because he didn't get promoted, or he's saying, I'm just a regular GI in the army. Wait till you see the heavy brass, right? I'm just a nobody. Vatim in Israel, you the Jews, Magavura Avad Lechon Shaul by Kish, the mean Givasa, what mighty deeds did Shaul, the son of Kish from Giva, do for you? The Manason Yosei Malka Lavechon, that he made him a king over you? In Gvar Gibaru, if he's a mighty warrior, Yechus, let him come down, for Yabi Kravaini, and let him wage battle with me? For in Gvar Chalash, and if he's a weakling, Becharu Lechon Gavra, choose for yourselves another man, the Yechus Lavasi, and let him come down towards me. Okay? So Goliath is obviously very abusive, and he cites his great strength, and he tries to point to Shaul's weakness. Very important. Tries to point to Shaul's being inept. Not inept, but incompetent. The Targum learns here, as we see, that Ish refers to Shaul. The Medrash, the Al-Kishimoni says, no. The Ein Ish El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the Ish who Goliath wants to wage war with? Hashem. Shneem says, Hashem Ish Milchom, Hashem is a man of war. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, you want to wage fight with me, who's an Ish? Harei Ani Mapilo Biyad Ish. I'm going to put you, deliver you to the hands of an Ish. Shneem, as it says, V'David Ben Ish Ephras. You're going to see that David is the son of a man from Ephras. So there's a very interesting message here, which is that the Goliath, being of course from the Plishtim, went far and God said, I'm going to wage war with the God of the Jews, not just with the Jews themselves. And Hashem responds and says, so you're going to wage war with me, that I'm called an Ish? You're going to treat me as if I'm a man? I'll show you that not only can I overcome you, but even one of my men, as long as that man is a true Tzelem Elohim, like David was, David himself can overcome you. And he sent David, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating an ace himself, in order to overcome the Plishtim. Now, the Well, I guess Ish would fit there. It's not the Malbim, it's the Al-Kishimoni. I'm sorry, I misspoke when I said Malbim. But the Al-Kishimoni would probably learn that he was an Ish from the Goyim. In other words, there are several perspectives of what an Ish is. And Ish can be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's called Ish Milchama when he conducts himself as a V-man in a certain fashion of leadership. And Ish can be a Tzelem Elohim, a divine image like David. And Ish can be a guy who's very powerful like Goliath. So the question is, which Ish overcomes which Ish? Okay? Now, a very interesting thing here is that Machlokas is treating the Marbanel and the Malbim. The Marbanel says that Goliath was going out and blustering. And he was just saying, you know what, try and wage war with me. See if you can overcome the first hurdle. The Marbanel rejects an opinion, which the Malbim does come to defend, which is that this case was a challenge to an actual, I shouldn't say actual, but a special kind of duel. The Malbim's opinion, the Bernie Barb now rejects, is that the Goliath was willing to strike a deal. He's willing to say, listen, tell you what, instead of waging a complicated war with many, many casualties, I'll be the representative of the Plishtim. You guys pick yourself a representative. The two of us will slug each other, slug it out to the death. Winner take all. In other words, whoever wins the fight, his side will have won the war, and his side will get take over the other side. That's the way the Malbim learns. And the Malbim is going to learn the next couple of psukim as the conditions set for this deal. Goliath is actually offering this deal instead of having major bloodshed, that just one battle between him and some Jew, that'll decide the whole outcome of the whole thing. Okay? That's how the Malbim learns it. Now, considering this, let's go out and see the next pasuk. Im yuchali lachem iti v'kani, if your guy can fight with me and to defeat me, va'idu lachem la'avodim, will be for you slaves. V'imani yuchal lo v'kisiv, if I can overcome him, v'ayisem lanu la'avodim, we will be your slaves. V'abadetem osanu. I'm sorry. If I will overcome him, then you will be our slaves. And you will serve us. Now the Malbim, of course, so this is all part of the deal, which Goliath is raising. But there's a more, perhaps even more interesting point, which is that if you take a look carefully, pasuk ches and pasuk tes, Goliath is stressing, you guys, you're just slaves to show. You won't stand to lose even if you become my slaves. What difference does it make? Slaves here, slaves there, you're slaves regardless. I stand to lose, says Goliath, because if I lose the war, we stand to lose. Because if I lose the battle, then my nation, the free Philistine nation, will be avodim to you guys. But you don't stand to lose anyway, because now you're avodim. The Plishim, bear in mind, the Malam points out, they weren't ruled by a king. They were ruled by councils. They were a republic. They had Sarnay Plishim, the representatives who ruled them. So Goliath says, look, this is even to your advantage. Because if you succumb to me, if you guys succumb to me, so at worst you'll just be part of our democracy, the great, the Philistine sub-republic. Right, the Palestinian Authority. But if I lose, then my people, the free Philistine nation, is going to have to be subordinate to Shaul. Now, at the same time, he's stirring up the embers, raking the coals by the Jews. They say, you guys, you realize what kind of state you're in now today. You're avodim anyway. You're nothing. You're Shaul's slaves. You're not, you're, what do you got to lose by coming with me? So again, he's trying to drive the wedge even more so. The wedge which existed between Shaul and the nation, which certainly he must have sensed, he's trying to drive that wedge home even more. Okay? Now, in Pasuk Yod, after Bnei Yisrael did not accept this whole business, Vayomer Plishti said, this is all the mob interpretation, okay, fine. You don't want a deal? Forget it. Today I'm just mocking. I know my deals. I'm just standing here and saying, you guys are a bunch of jerks. Or you guys are cowards. Whatever. I'm mocking the Marachos Yisrael. It's a newly ish v'nil chomayacha. Just give me a guy to fight with. No deals, no nothing. I just want to fight. So the Malvin learns that he actually at first offered a deal, and then withdrew the deal when he saw anyway the Jews weren't coming to fight. So, Vayishma, Paskirav, Vayishma Shaul, V'choyisav, Tivri HaPlishti, Shaul and all the Jews heard the words of the Plishti, these words of Plishti, Vayichatu, they trembled, Vayirumod, and they were very, very fearful. Basically, Shaul trembled, quaked in cowardice. The David, Ben Ish Ephrosi. David was the son of a man from Ephros. Now, where is Ephros? Which is approximately where? Which is approximately where? Beit Lechem, right? So Beit Lechem was where Yishai was from. So David was the son of Ishef Rossi Azeh, this special person from Beit Lechem, we Beit Lechem Yehuda. Ushmo Yishai, and his name was Yishai. The Lo Shmo Nabonim, and he had 8 kids. The Yish Bimei Shaul, and the person Yishai at the time of Shaul was Bo Banoshim. He was a very, very distinguished person. He walked around or gave shear to many, many people. He was one of the most distinguished men of his generation. Now, a couple of important things on this pasuk. If you take a look in my notes here, please, on pasuk Yudbeis. The Pesach in several places says that an Ephrosi is a Shomer Bris. Somebody who's very careful not to get involved in sexual things. Somebody is very careful not to get involved in all sorts of potential sexual situations. And that is a person who, according to the fact of Tzadik, says, Lo Ra Kerem Yomav. He never had Soshich Vazera Shalob Makom Mitzvah. Now, this is Yishai. In fact, we know this is true about Yishai because Yishai, the Gemara tells the end of the first paragraph of Abbas, one of the 4 people who died just because of the curse at the time of the Nachash. That was Yishai. He was a very holy person. It seems by the fact that David is introduced in the previous parak, we weren't told that David is an Ephrosi. Here we're told that David is an Ephrosi. Why are we told this? It must be that this has something to do with overcoming Goliath. And of course, it does. If you take a look here, I quote a couple of chazals. There are even more than I quoted here, but these are a couple of the less explicit ones. Goliath Shmo Migas. What's good base? Goliath is named from Gas. Tani Rav Yosef, sorry, Rav Yosef learned, Shane Doshin Bimo Kigas. They used to press into his mother, you understand the euphemism, like people press grapes in where they walk on the grapes, what's it called in English? It's not threshing, but wine press. So that's she was pretty available. So people used to just thresh her, so to speak, lie as if she was in the wine press. Ksiv also, one place says Maros, and one place says Marachos. Tani Rav Yosef learned Hako Herubimo. Everybody had relations with his mother. I'm Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok says Osa Laila Shapir Sha'arma Arpa Mechamosa. That night that Arpa separated from her mother-in-law, from Naomi, Merububog Vios shall come in the autumn. The bodies of several people got involved with Arpa. You know, here she is. She was about to go with Naomi back there to Israel, you know, the whole nine yards, and become Jewish and all that. Okay? Once Naomi says no, and she leaves, once you're going back, you might as well go back all the way. So that night, she was made herself quite busy. And she was never brought Rabbi Tanchum Omer, not only did she have relations with many people that night, Af Kelev, what the heck, she also had relations with a dog as well. She never says, Vayomer HaPlishtil, David, later the police is going to say to David, Ha Kelev Anoichi, am I a dog? And the answer is, yes, he is a dog, because his mother had relations with a dog. And there's several, the Yavim Shimon also brings down a medrash that Goliath was the son of 100 fathers and one mother. In other words, 100 people had relations with his mother. Arpa was his mother. Yeah. Excuse me? Yes. They were all at Ephrasim, right. As opposed, and Orpa obviously was not capable of becoming an Ephratit. So therefore she, and proof of the pudding is what happened to her afterwards. Now you see clearly that Goliath he's not just a Plishti. He's a Plishti who represents to us the depths of degradation, not just of degradation, but of licentiousness, and not just of licentiousness, but of sheer pure tumah. In order to fight such a person, this is a spiritual battle. The way we perceive it, it must be that David HaMelech, or the young David at that time, was going to fight him, is spiritually pure of that same deficit which represents Goliath. If Goliath comes about and his whole power came about as a result of all of this lustful activity, so then you need somebody who's the antithesis of that in order to overcome it. Now, David himself, later in life, is going to have a little bit of a checkered career himself, so to speak. But the point is that at this point, the schuz of his father, which was an Ephrasi, allowed him to overcome Goliath. He was a pure, holy individual. He came from a legacy of Ephrasim. That's why he was able to overcome Goliath. By the way, Ephras, in this, it probably has a connotation of pruvu, right? Having to do with procreation. So an Ephrasi is somebody who's very careful in areas of period of arrivia to do it properly and to restrain themselves when necessary. Now, the Ramam in Radak learned that this pasuk and the next few psukim are very important because they have to explain to us how in the world David, when he came down and heard about Goliath, was not aware of this whole episode. As a matter of fact, later in this paragraph, we're going to have one of the very, very strange things to say for Shmuel, that Shaul's not going to recognize David when David goes to fight Goliath. He's going to turn to Avner and say, who's that kid over there? And of course, which is very difficult because earlier in the previous paragraph we said David already was serving as the minstrel by Shaul. So part of the answer we find here in that David had to go back home to serve Yishai. Yishai was a very distinguished man. He had a few kids in the army. He needed people home to help him. So therefore, at the beginning of the war, David went back home to Ephras, to Beis Lechem, to help out Yishai. And that's why he wasn't necessarily aware when he came back now that this whole episode is occurring. Okay, is that clear? All right, let's see the next verse. Vayelchu Moses Bnei Yishai Gdolim, the three older sons of Yishai, Hochu Achrei Shol, they went to the battlefield, they followed Shol, Ramilchama to the war. The Shem Shloshes Banav Asher Hochu Milchama, the name of the three sons who went to war, are Eliav Abachor. Eliav was the firstborn, Umishnei Avinadav, and the secondborn was Avinadav, Vashlishi Shama, and the thirdborn was Shama. Pasuk Yudalad, the David, who Hakatan, he was the smallest of Yishai's kids. Ushlosha Gagdolim Hocha Achrei Shol, that and all of the three eldest kids went after Shol to war. The David Olech Veshav Me'al Shol, David had to forsake his duties and he was going and coming from Shol. Liros his son Aviv Beis Lechem, since he had to, although he had to play for Shol, he also had to help his father, was now bereft of his older aides, his older kids. So therefore, David had to go home and help graze, pasture his father's flock. Vaigasha plishti, the plishti came ashkem v'arev, early morning and evening, vaisyatsev arboim yom, and he stood out there between the camps for 40 days. This is a very symbolic pasuk, a lot of very important symbolism here. First of all, the Rashi brings down the Chazal, that why was going early in the morning, late at night, which mitzvahs did he try to take away from the Jews? Kriyashma, right? They tried to prevent them from saying Kriyashma. Now, I think there's a message in here. It's not just that by coincidence he's prevented them from saying Kriyashma, the rather Kriyashma means that God is one. He rules the heavens and the earth and there is no escaping his power, right? Hashem Echad, we're supposed to think when he says Echad, that God is one in the eight heavens and the earth, and the seven heavens and the one earth, that's the Ches, and to the four corners of the world, that's the Dalit. But if that's true, the Plishim got no room to come and conquer Am Yisrael, because Moach Kodesh Baruch Hu created Am Yisrael to be, so to speak, eternal. So therefore, David says, no, Goliath says, there's no Yichud of Hashem. God is not unified. I shouldn't say it. God does not control the entire Bria. It's possible to circumvent God. I will circumvent God. How do I circumvent God? I won't allow you Jews to invoke His presence constantly and totally by not letting you read Kriya Shema. So even if it's true when you say Shema that Hashem connects fully to the world, nonetheless, I'm going to get out of that. That's what he says by going out there and canceling them from saying Shema morning and evening. Now, there are a couple of other interesting chazals here. But before I get to them, before I get to them, I want to mention that the name Goliath. What does that connote to, the name Goliath? Goliath from Gas, right? But the etymology of the name, assuming there is a value to it. Galui could be revealed, yeah. Gal could be a hill, right? A mound, right? He was pretty big. What?
A wave,
right? Give me another idea. Absolutely for another one. Golus. Did Bnei Yisrael undergo Golus yet? Besides Golus Mitzrayim, no. Goliath was intended to drive Bnei Yisrael into Golus. That was what he was trying to do. I think it's just my hunch. He was the Goliath, is the Golem. He wanted to create a wedge, which he classed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by A, not getting them to stop saying Kriya Shema, but then subsequently actually driving them into Golus. This is it. You don't like that?
I like it. I still
want somebody about it. Who else? Well, I'll tell you why. A pshetel, not pshat. You know the difference between pshat and pshetel? Pshat means a legitimate interpretation. A pshetel means an illegitimate interpretation. But the Torah begins with base. The Seder Sadibros begins with what's the first letter available for an enemy? What's the first letter available for an enemy? What? Gimel. Yeah, that's why so many enemies of Jews begin with Gimel. Ah, but Seres Dibros, based on the Torah. They can't be the names of enemies. So therefore, the first enemy's name is with the Gimel. What? Bo starts at the base. Molek starts at the nine. That's later. Oyev. The word enemy in Hebrew starts with an aleph. Right, that's why I said it's pshetel, not a pshat. In any event, I don't know why they start with people.
That would jive with the 40 days.
What?
40 days. Your child of Gorgas would go with the 40 days.
Why this goes 40 days?
The Meraglim
Meraglim of 40 days, so you need sin of 40 days in order to affect the goals. The goal is out of 40 days. That's a nice shot. That's a nice shot. That's not what most of them say in the 40 days. I'll tell you in a minute what they say. But that is a nice shot that you need 40 days in order to affect a punishment similar to that affected by the Meraglim. Very nice. The truth is that I guess that's a little bit mida connected mida, this thing, because since Arpa left to go back to Golos and didn't go in with Naomi to Eretz Yisrael, so her children also were interested in getting Bnei Yisrael, driving them into Golos. Okay? Now, it's a very interesting Chazal in this Pasuk. In a Chazal, very, very important Chazal, I would say. If you take a look in the Radak, on Pasuk Tez Zayin, he says, I want to see the first, second measure she brings down first. Or do I? She moved. You know that the PLO is going to have safe passages between the West Bank and Gaza? So they had safe passages between Moab and Palestine. I don't know how it worked either. I don't know how it worked. How it worked. She married a Plishti guy, huh? That's correct.
And Arpa is Bruce's contemporary.
Right.
Seems to be like a generational.
Gaius is an old man by now. Yeah. He's old as hell. Yeah. He was obviously spiritual. I want to point that out. Well, this measure I didn't quote it, but the Agud Shimoni says that b'schutz the arba meal, the four meal which Arpa walked with Naomi, she got four sons who were giants. There were four giants. So it was a special spiritual thing. She did something very, very important, the Arpa. She demonstrated Mesiras Nefesh. She got rewarded. How did she get rewarded? By having these unique spiritual qualities. And there's another message here, which my other Radak brings out, Rabbi Yachim Shem Rabbi Yitzchak, Arboim Psiel Sochor Arboim Chamosa. She went 40 steps, not 40 meal, with her mother-in-law. V'nitlu livna Arboim Yom. That's why her son got off for 40 days off the hook. Shem Rabbi Yigash HaPlishti Ashkem V'arei V'yisyatev Arboim Yom. Says Plishti was there for 40 days. Now, you gotta understand this in life, son, we said last week, which is that in Arpa there was great Kedusha. Just like in the Ruth there was a great Kedusha. You can abuse Kedusha. And when you abuse and distort Kedusha, then the Kedusha becomes a sustaining factor for evil as well. I want you to tell you that in Kabbalah, this is a big thing. It's a basic paradox in Kabbalah, which is what sustains the world? There's only one thing which sustains the world. Kedusha. Right? Holiness. That's the true battery for the world. If Kedusha sustains the world, then it's a basic paradox in Kabbalah. How is evil sustained? Evil is good. So you're saying, no, I like it. What are you asking? One of the answers is the answer you're saying. That evil also serves a good purpose. It creates a backhand in Kiddush Hashem. And the truth is that this is also, it was Shtigl Eschus also for Goliath. That Al Apo Va'al Chamoso, against his will, he became a Kiddush Hashem as well. But that Yaakov's is chus varpa. That Goyas goes down in history as being a Kiddush Hashem. Hi, it's on his dead body. Okay, but that's also a form of Kiddush Hashem. But getting back to the question itself, that's one answer. That the Ra also brings to Tov when it's vanquished. But another answer which is given is that the klipos, the evil, are nizonos, are sustained by the achoraim de kedusha, by the back of kedusha, the back ways. The way I understand it, if I recall correctly, is that if you do an avera and you're a holy Jewish guy, let's say 5 minutes ago chveis you davened neila, and then you zeichet the great kedusha, and then 5 minutes, 10 minutes after neila, you go out and you go to McDonald's and have a cheeseburger. So I'm exaggerating for effect, but obviously all that kedusha which you absorbed on Yom Kippur, you're now using to use for an avera. That's being give sustaining the klipo, sustaining evil. That using the kedusha for evil, it's sustaining it. The klipo is being nizo me'acharayim the kedusha. If no Jews would do averas, only mitzvahs, the evil would have to stop. Evil would not be fed anymore, wouldn't be sustained. Poof, it would disappear. So by Arba, what she did is she generated great kedusha through Mesiras Nefesh, through a willingness to go with Naomi. But then immediately afterwards, with that kiss to Naomi, with the tears fresh on her cheek, she went and she had relations with 100 guys that night. Ein lecha, using the kedusha, misusing the kedusha, and giving it to the tumah in a greater fashion. But nonetheless, there's a kedusha there. So Goyas is the repugnant, base, corrupt person, a blasphemer, a mocker, a scoffer. But that kedusha is there. The evil is being fed by that kedusha which Arpa had. Ah, for that he gets 40 days. He gets saved for 40 days. For that little kedusha which there is. That's a pretty Kabbalistic way of looking at things. And look at it pretty simple, for more simple than that as well. Yes.
You just buy the mechanism.
Yes. You can't be too diffuse.
You can do what is kedusha, the essence of kedusha.
Yes.
Potential energy and putting it into active energy. You're going out, right?
In other words, Arpa was Gomel Dalim to Naomi. Right, that Ches said, yeah, what did she, Naomi,
say? I was
says?
Just saying, when you mentioned the Aleph and the Beis, so I tried to remember, where's the first time in the Torah? You always have the Chashivas for the first time.
Yeah, where's the first Gimel?
The Shneim Aleph and Gedolim. Gedolim. It was also, you're putting yourself, you're elevating yourself. It's like it represents action.
That's very good. So that's the way to understand this chazal. But there's another chazal here, which Radak brings down, which brings that Vayisyatzev Arboim Yom corresponds to Vayisyatzev Yisrael. Oh, I forget the exact rush of the pasuk. I think Mul Har Sinai. Vayisyatzev Tachtis Har. And he says there also the Torah is given in 40 days. So this is like the way the Radak learns of Chazal, it means that for 40 days they have to prepare themselves. Bnei Yisrael are ascending for 40 days until they can finally vanquish Goliath. And this is like a new Kabbalah of the Torah, because at the end of those 40 days they will be makabel something new and special. What were they makabel the end of those 40 days? David HaMelech. David now became the leader, the hero of Klal Yisrael. So it's like a new period of 40 days. And the truth is the word Vayisyatzvu. And the Rashi being a Parshat Nitzavim says that whenever a new phase starts in Am Yisrael, it's called a Matseva. Matseva, literally, in Matseva means a monument, too. But a monumental, I mean, that's a little bit of a chat. But a monumental event occurs, that's called a Matseva. So there's a new Matseva here. The Matseva is that this is the fame, this is the root of David HaMelech's acceptance in Am Yisrael. Let me just find that Rashi quickly. Yeah, Rashi in Pasuk Beis in Nitzavim says, "Atem Nitzavim Pisho Yisrael Yates Mi Parnas L'Parnas." Since Am Yisrael is going from leader to leader, Mi Moshe Yeshua L'Tichach Asa Asam Atseva. That's how he made them this gathering Kedei L'Zayz them in order to exhort them. V'chein Asa Yoshua, V'chein Shmuel. Shmuel also said, "Hisyatzmu Vayishavto Eschem." Gather together, and I will judge you. Kshiyatzim Yodav Nichlasu the others Yeshua, and they left his hand and they went into the hands of Shaul. So Nitzavim means an epic event, a transition, a monumental event. And that also happens here too, because there's a transition about to occur from Shaul to David. A public transition is about to occur here. Okay? Yeah, and I wrote here also, like getting back to what I said before, there's also Vaisyatse for through this word Vaisyatse here goes on Goliath. Even though it connects made the man terrible, it's going on Goliath. So like I said before, it's a shtickle also a matseva for Goliath. It's true he's going to die at the end, but he's going to die al Kiddush Hashem. You know, seriously speaking for a moment, there is this big shiloh. If a person dies al Kiddush Hashem without kapara, say a fry person, not from, he dies al Kiddush Hashem without a kapara, is it a schus for him? And the predominant answer is yes. And it's a schus also for this for Goliath that he served for the Kiddush Hashem of being vanquished by David. I don't know if he gets a Olam Haba for that, but a shtickle meaning in his life it gives him. Okay, God was sanctified on his back. Okay, let's say Pasuk Yitzayin. Yitzayin Yerches. Vayomer Yishai, David b'no Yishai said to David his son, Kachna l'achechoi fasa kol yazeh. Take for your brothers this measure of toasted grain. Vasor lechem azen, these 10 breads. Vareitza machane, and run with them to the camp, l'achicha to your brothers. And these 10 milk goats. Was it milk goats or cheeses? Yeah, cheeses. These 10 cheeses, Fabius Sarah, bring to the generals in charge of 1,000. So some say it's the generals over his three sons, over Yishai's three sons. Others say it was Yonah's son himself, who was the general of the armies. And find out how your brothers are doing. Ask and inquire to the welfare. And take their credits, or literally their collateral. Now, let me read the next pasuk, because the mom says next pasuk is part of Yishai's directions. And Yishai says to David, where will you find him? Shol ve'ema, Shol and they, your three brothers, v'chol Yisrael, and all the men of Yisrael, ve'emeko e'elah, are in the valley of the nut tree, nuchomei ha'plishtim, fighting with the plishtim, go there and find him. Now, the pasuk Yitzayin, pasuk has a very, very important. And specifically the words v'esarubu sam tikach. The pasuk Yitches. The Radak brings down three pshatim in Esaruba Sam Tikach. The first pshat is your brothers have to pay collateral in order to raise them. In order to pay, have to give collateral and borrow on credit in order to get themselves food. Because in the old days, soldiers are responsible for their own food. So Yishai says here, I'm staying, sending with you money or barter in order they should be able to pay up the people who gave them food on credit. That's one pshat is Arubah Sam Tikach. Another pshat Arubah Sam Tikach is what the Targum says is check out how they're doing. So it's first see if they're at peace, and then see what their welfare is. They're two separate things. A final pshat which Radak brings down is Chazal. Chazal says Arubah Sam Tikach is take their gittin. That any anybody went out to war from the house of David used to write a get to his wife. Just in case it got lost in war, you know, M-A-M-A-I-M-I-A. And therefore, they would be able to, their wives would be divorced and they wouldn't be left agunos. So if it said, right, get the gittin. Now, that's all, quote-unquote, push-up shot. But there's a super, super beautiful chazal here. I'd like to spend the rest of the time tonight on this chazal. Take a look on my my page here, my note page. I'm Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon said, the first letter on each line is cut off. Lamud also a shevet. Lios arev elu leilu. This shevet, what shevet is David from? Yehuda is learned of being a guarantor for that other shevet. What shevet is Shaul from? Binyamin. Shenamar, as it said, Anochi Ervenu. Who did Yehuda guarantee? Binyamin. Anochi Ervenu miyadi tevakshenu, right? Look, what a beautiful chazal. Yishai said to David his son, Harei ashoa shetelech. The time has come for you to go with the kaim osar arvus and fulfill the guarantee. Show Yehuda's kinech of Yehuda, your elder. Sh'orav is Binyamin miad aviv, who guaranteed Binyamin from to his father to Yaakov. Shneimar onochi arvenu lach, as it says, I will be the arif. Go and extricate Binyamin as we guaranteed him many years previously. Maso David, but what did David do? Holach and fulfilled guarantee Varag is Golias and save Golias. Amar Yakush Bar Hashem said Chayecha by your life Kishem Shinasata Napshcha Tachas Shol Shumishito Shabinyamin, just like you gave your life, put your life in danger of a Shol from the tribe Binyamin. Kishem Shasa Yehuda Zekenecha, just like Yehuda your grandfather did. Shriyama Yeshim No Avdukha Tachasan, we said to Yosef, I will sit in for lieu of the trial in prison. I can't read the first word's cut off, so I can't read it. Lefichach, I think it is. Lekach. Therefore, I need noitim beis hamikdash mechelek Yehuda. I'm going to put the chel beis hamikdash in the portion of Yehuda. Ubinyamin and Binyamin together. Well, not only that, el shakol shvatim goyim. All shvatim of the goyim. The Shevet Yehuda Binyamin ain't going. And the Shevet Binyamin Yehuda did not go to Golus. Rama, Sheshnei Shvatim Eil, these two Shvatim, Haminu, be trusted me, Hashem, the Kitsu Shmi, Bayam. And they sanctified me at the Yamsuf. Shnevet says, Shom, the Binyamin Tsoy Rodon, Tsoy Yehuda Ragma Sam. I'm not sure how to translate that puzzle, but it says, Bayamsuf, Binyamin Yehuda willing to go first. Binyamin started going, and then Yehuda jumped in Nachshon ben Aminadav. They were the big mamin. And they're connected for all time because of Yehuda's promise to Yaakov. And when all the Shvatim went down to Golus, Yehuda and Binyamin were the two which remained together. Yehuda and Binyamin! We didn't realize, you never know, realize that. Who realizes? I didn't realize this till today. You and Binyamin were linked for all time. Forever and ever, because of the guarantee Yehuda gave to Binyamin. And you think here that the Yishai actually said these words to David. He didn't say these words to David. He knew that David's going to go to be defeat Goliath. He had no idea that this whole Goliath Meister was happening. But underneath, in the subconscious, Yehuda's coming to save Binyamin. When Binyamin's in a bind, Yehuda comes to save him. And how does that work? So here, of course, we turn to Reb Tzadok, right? As Reb Tzadok puts it, Ma'at Bal Yosef, by the Mishkan Shilu. It says, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forsook Mishkan Shilu, which by now is destroyed. Ki kol tokev madregaso, Yosef's high madrega, who rak mitzad olam hazeh is in olam hazeh. The Tzadok like those where you have to be restrained. Yosef was very good at restraint. For kol olam hazeh rak l'shah, but olam hazeh is only temporary. Kol melucha benitzchius, however, what is kingship for eternity? Hainu mitzad Mitzad Malchus Shamayim that comes from the kingship of heaven. Shechok Mikvodeli Rav, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu distributed, he distributes Zahar to those who fear him. B'Shorish Knesset Yisrael, and the root of Am Yisrael. Barak Zev Yehuda, that can only come from Yehuda. Yehuda is unique. Yosef is an integral part of Olam Hazeh. Restraint. There's such trouble in Yisrael and Olam Hazeh. You need the power of Yosef for that, to restrain. He restrained himself when the daughter of Potiphar, wife of Potiphar. But that's only temporary, so to speak. It's a Torah HaShoah. It's not say because of the great prior trials and tribulations of Olam Hazeh. But what's the ideal level? Something much higher than that. Yehuda. Yehuda, it says, he was constantly cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yehuda's Milah. He's always cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is in his name, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei is in Yehuda's name, right? And it means to be modet, to concede in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why all Jews are called Yehudim, right? Mordechai Yehudi, right? Even though he was from Shevet Binyamin. Again, the connection. He's called Yehudi because he wasn't just a Binyaminite, but he was a Kofer in Avodah Zarah and a Moedin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's called the Yehudi. So Shevet Yehuda is the highest Madrega. Not just to be restrained, that's not good enough. You have to be able to be, whatever situation you put yourself in, you have to be able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. And there's a beautiful Me'ah Shiloach here, quote on the side here. The Me'ah Shiloach says, the stone and the choshu which correspond to Yehuda was the Nofech. You know, in the parashas Tetzaveh. So the Me'ah Shiloach, he systematically goes through all the stones of the choshu, and he tells you how each stone related to each Shevet. It says, Nofech, I know he knows this, but he says, yeah, I'm just curious how the article translates Nofech. Yeah, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and then Yehuda. Here it is. Nofech. Torah Shini Nofech Sebevi Alom. Guess what? The second row, Nofech. Doesn't translate it. Nofech Sapir Ni Alom. In the Arts of Chumash, you don't translate any of these. Yeah, that's right. That lot of good this did us. In any event, the Me'ah Shiloach says that, hopefully he didn't translate. I'm sure Ari Kaplan, Living Torah, tells me what it is, but here it doesn't say anything. In any event, Nofech, he says, is a stone which which reflects any color which is shined in it. Or, if I understand, either reflects any color shine, or if I understand the other interpretation I understand here is that it has all sorts of hues in it, many hues. And he says, Yehuda was like that. They were never with one midah. Yosef had one midah, restraint. Yehuda, they had all sorts of midahs. And he says, so when they wanted, when Kshuayim had been tzadikim gomorim utzadik gomor, Kshuayim had been Balei Tshuva, and it's among Balei Tshuva, Agadol Shel Balei Tshuva, he's the biggest of Balei Tshuva. It says that about David. David was the biggest Balei Tshuva, but David also is a great tzadik. So it says the concept of Yehuda is no matter what situation you're in, you're always at home with that, and you're always at ease with that, and that always is what Yehuda has. He can roll with the punches, so to speak, which is, the truth is, it's more than that, because a melech is going to be able to direct all of Am Yisrael, you know, each and every member of Am Yisrael, according to their madrega, like it says by Yeshua, Isha sheruach bo sheyochol halich l'rucho shekol echad ve'echad. So that was the madrega of Yehuda, which he had. Yosef didn't have that. They were rigid, restrained. They couldn't change. Yehuda, no matter what situation they were in, they could do everything with Shem Shammai. Kol Matzecha Yehuda Shem Shammai. Now the truth is, V'Binyamin Yilvay Moim Tamid. Binyamin was always with Yehuda. Ki Gam Adregas Binyamin Atzadik, because Binyamin also, who merely Daga the Tzadik, is also the same concept as Yosef. Kshinevad Yosef, when Yosef is not there. Anu Daga the Kol Matzav Shem Shammai. He also has, and he can connect also with Yehuda, in this respect, that he provides this restraint, but he also learns from Yehuda that all his ma'asim should be l'shem shamayim. Truth is, when Binyamin is without Yehuda, he messes up sometimes, such as by Pilegesh Begiva. What happened by Pilegesh Begiva is that Binyamin was on their own. On their own, it's true they have that restraint, but not to the same extent as Yosef. To have that extended restraint of Yosef, they need to have the assistance of Yehuda. Without that assistance of Yehuda, so they can, they're, it's possible for them to fall, for them to slip up. So he says, "Balkena gula ba'adar aydei zera binyamin." The gula ba'adar comes through the children of Binyamin, and then he goes on to describe it. It's late, so I don't want to read it all inside. But he says that the power of Binyamin is to at a time of great darkness, at a time of great difficulty, to overcome and perceive what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Yosef and Binyamin represent restraint, represent careful consideration, deliberation, doing the right thing. There's no concept of tshuva by Yosef. He, to begin with, is very, very strong and very, very firm. That element is necessary, but it's not always enough. And the problem is that sometimes when a Binyaminite like Shaul, when he falls, he doesn't have the capacity to arise again. They don't have this power which Yehuda has, that if they fall, they're the best Baal Teshuva that there are. Yosef is the greatest tzaddik there is, but if he's not a tzaddik, it's a big problem. He gets lost. And therefore, that rigidity has to be compensated for by your Yehuda, who knows how to roll with the punches, as I said. In other words, when they're down, to rise again. And the Me'er Shiloh, the Egyptian, somebody else says that Shevet Yehuda's Maila is that they're never misyoish. They never give up. They never give up. So never giving up means here in this situation with Shaul, when he was on the high madrega of Binyamin, of a true Binyaminite beforehand, no plishti could overcome him. Because Shaul represented, spiritually, complete restraint, the antithesis of the lustful behavior of the plishtim. But now that he's down, he's depressed, he was cursed, he was pushed aside, he can't lead anymore. So who's going to come and give Binyamin that oomph, give them the strength? Be Mashlim, who's the guarantor of Binyamin, that even if Binyamin falls, they will rise again? Yehuda. Yehuda for all time is the guarantor of Binyamin's place. And that if a Binyaminite falls, if Binyamin falls, Yehuda will come to support him. And that's what happened here too as well. Again, Yishai didn't have this conversation with David, but it was going down under the surface. Yes, it's true, Shaul falls. Then David comes to sort of help him out, to buttress him, to fortify him, to take over where Binyamin falls short. And ultimately, even though Shaul loses, this is a very powerful message, even though Shaul loses the kingship, even though Shaul is decimated, but Shaul is not just Shaul, Shaul is Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin itself is sustained by David, is sustained by Shevet Yehuda. And therefore, they can later on come and make the greatest gula in Klal Yisrael, the gula of Purim, because of their being fortified, their having gotten the metchuna, the characteristic of Yehuda, and making them sholem in that respect, and making Binyamin and Yehuda together constantly the perfection of Jewish history. Okay,
the connection between Yosef and Yehuda continues in Rasulullah with Mashiach.
Mashiach and Yosef and Yehuda, right. So it's either Yosef and Yehuda or right. Binyamin and Yehuda. Just that Yosef, the full connection with Yosef will not come back to the Lossid level. Binyamin is even in Golus, because Binyamin is, so to speak, a lower madrega of Yosef. When Yosef will be restored, Lossid level, that's at the time of the Gula, then Yosef will take the place of Binyamin once more. But you're right, the two work together.
Also, I think there's a similarity in the language. When Yishai sends David to check on his brothers, it's similar to when Yaakov sent Yosef to check on his brothers.
Right.
One says Lechna and Tachna, but it's the same concept.
Yosef, so Yishai and Yaakov, it's an interesting thing. I'll have to think about that and see if we can shoot that next week. Okay, Ashokrech. Thank you.